Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Chisa Pod. I am Masoga Semela, and I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but this is our very last podcast for the year. But do not fret, as I have with me singer and songwriter Langa Mavuso, who tells us what he's all about. Stay tuned to hear what he has to say. Enjoy!
Yes, Umzanzi Salaville is filled with flavor.
But you know that he overta khotseba hore fame ire morning. Or who secured the latest bag.
Or just who's dripping with sauce.
And who's adding the spice.
Jonga yongi into nje.
Because if it's hot, then it's definitely in the Chisa Pod.
Anyway, Langa, tell me, who are you, what are you, and what are you about?
Langa is a singer, songwriter, an all-round musician, also just a person who grew up in Johannesburg in the South. I went to Meadow Primary, went to the National School of the Arts for high school, where I did classical music and drama, and moved on to UCT to study jazz, came home, worked in advertising for a little bit, and then decided I just want to do what I love and go back into music, and yeah, the rest is history.
Yeah, and how old were you when you realized that you have a passion for singing?
Ooh, 8. I was 8 years old, but I always had a yearning for the stage, if I'm being honest with you. I lived with my grandmother, Iti Gloof, like from like as a baby until I was like 5 years old. But every holiday, I would go home to my mom and my dad, and they lived in Orlando. And they would always be in choir rehearsals whenever I'd be there because it was like obviously the weekend. And I'd sit at the back of the hall listening to them rehearse for like choral competitions and stuff. And I would really, really like want to be on the stage with them. I would practice the routines with them, like as if I was going to be on that stage with them. And the competitions would come. I would see how people would respond and the applause. And for a very long time, I just yearned for that kind of thing as well, not knowing that there was a gift or that there was something brewing inside. When I found my voice, it just felt like all of that kind of yearning and wanting to be on stage with them and practicing and just like wanting to emulate what they were doing, it kind of came to fruition for me. That's when I discovered my voice. And from then, I was like, I'm going to do everything I can to make this dream a reality.
Yeah. You know? So would I be correct in saying that you are from a family of singers? And who do you take after?
Yeah. Everyone can sing. I'm just the best one.
Okay.
But yeah, I come from a family of singers. Everyone sings in the house. My mom, my brother, my dad. And even my stepdad, like growing up with my stepdad, he and my mom met through the choir. And a crazy thing happened just before I dropped the album. I went home to KZN with my dad, and he said to me that me releasing my album was a dream realized for my great grandfather, who had always wanted to be a musician and to do what I do. And he said, for generations in the family, music has always been like a prevalent thing, and everyone has kind of yearned to pursue it, but the circumstances have never allowed for anyone to really kind of delve into it. He was so happy that I was able to fulfill that, and he was like, it's your fearlessness and your bravery to chase after your dreams is somehow a fulfillment of a dream that was there way before you, and he was just so pleased and just so happy to see me do that, you know. And that was an amazing thing for me, because I wanted to go home just before the album came out, just to kind of just have a moment of grounding and of gratitude for all those who kind of walked the walk before I had been there. And just to really give thanks, you know, and so it was such an amazing thing to be a Kai HaKwaZulu, and just really like kind of see the humble beginnings that we come from, and to appreciate how far we've come and what it really means, you know.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So yeah. So who would you say influenced your sound? Because your sound is quite unique, and it's one of those sounds. If you start singing, someone is in awe. Like, people are captivated by you. So who would you say influenced your sound?
You know, it differs like through time. So growing up, I listened to a lot of Bob Kaifas and Ringo at home. My parents played a lot of and a lot of Ringo. You know, I think all of our moms had a crush on Ringo. in his gap days. And I think when I started to kind of have a choice of my own of what I wanted to listen to, I really went into the neo-soul era, a lot of Maxwell, D'Angelo, Raphael Sadiq, Erica, like from 12 until maybe 16, I was listening to those people, Dwele, Anthony Hamilton. I was heavy, heavy, heavy into those artists. Mm. But I always loved a singer, you know, like I love listening to singers. Or Luther Vandross, Donny Hathaway, Whitney Houston. Those singers for me were kind of like very important in my journey of just kind of hearing how far you can stretch the voice. But musically, I was really, really influenced by that like neo-soul, soulquarian movement that happened in the early 2000s. And obviously, when I got to high school, I started listening to classical music because I was studying it. And going to UCT, I had no choice but to listen to jazz, you know, because I was studying. And so I would say it's kind of like a mixed masala of all of those things. But I also like, when I started making music, I had just come out of like this Tumblr era, you know. We were all like bloggers at a point.
Yes, I was too.
And we'd all go to neighborhoods and take a picture and post it on your Tumblr, and, you know, we were all kind of going through the Tumblr era. And during that Tumblr era, we discovered a lot of, like, alternative musicians, you know. And I think that's when I discovered Frank Ocean. And just kind of getting into his catalog, I realized that you could create R&B without making it so linear and without making it only fit specific kind of genre rules and barriers, but you could really be experimental with it. And that allowed to really feel a freedom when it comes to creating. And so going through that time kind of opened me up to kind of different kind of creative voices and ways to create. So I think that had been a really prolific artist then. Solange, Petit Noir, all of those people, they really kind of showed us that as artists, we didn't have to fit into a really generic kind of way of being.
Okay. And speaking about creativity, would you say you write your music? Where do you get your creative thoughts and creative when it comes to like writing your music? If you do write your own music, how do you get to that point where you pen down those lyrics?
So I write all of my music. All of it is written by me. Like I collaborate as a composer and an arranger, and so you could say I'm really central in the process of creating all of my work.
How do you find that zen? Like, where do you go to write down those lyrics, or maybe that song comes to you? How do you get to that creative process?
I write very like retrospectively. Like, it's always about that's happened in the past. I never write about what's happening in the moment, because I always feel like when you write about an event that's currently happening to you, I find that your perspective is not as wide as it could be. And I think that once you're out of the situation, you're able to see things for what they really are and not just what you see them to be. And because I write about like my experiences, the people I've fallen in love with, the people I've fallen out of love with, all of that, I think it's only fair to also like to give them a fair chance to understand their point of view and their experience of me as well. And so that's why I write retrospectively, and I give myself a chance to really understand what had happened. I must be fair in my retelling of a story that doesn't only belong to me, but belongs to maybe myself and another person. So The process is really simple for me. Like, I just kind of, once I hear the music, I know what the feel of the song should be. And then I've got like this 6-word story thing that I work off of. So within the first 6 words of the song, I must give you what the whole song's about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And so from there, I'm really just kind of unpacking the 6-word story with every part. You know?
That's quite so deep.
The 6 words really encapsulate everything that I'm going to say. And after that, I just really start to unpack what I'm talking about and the experience of that. And so it's quite simple, but like, it's hard to simplify sometimes like a complex emotion into 6 words. And so once I've got the 6 word, unpacking it is like easy.
Easy. I get what you mean. I also have a strategy how I write my stories. So you spoke about love and lost love. Is Langa Mavuso dating someone? Is he in love? Who's he dating and how long has it been?
You like to know.
Just a hint would be nice, you know.
Yeah, I am dating someone. Yeah, dating a really amazing somebody.
That's nice to hear. Also wanted to find out, seeing that now you're like the big star that you are, how's the family treating you? Like your immediate family, extended family, are you like treated differently from before the fame, or is it still the same?
Well, I think like with my immediate family, like it's really still the same. My mom, I get to her house and she's just like, like, I mean, they really acknowledge and celebrate like my achievements, but it's never outside of just career kind of support, you know? I think the difference really happens with the extended family, where they come home and like, I've had cousins call me like randomly, like a cousin that I would have not spoken to in like years, like video call me and be like, "How, cuz, gunjani?" But you can see they like trying to show whoever that they were that they're speaking to me.
Damn.
Has a TV is all dun. And I'm like, you see here, I'm actually like playing for the gallery. I think the difference in kind of treatment has been from the extended family, nothing from the
Yeah. Okay, unrelated to what we're talking about right now, I just want to know, how did you survive the whole year, seeing that 2020 was one hectic year? As an artist, not being booked for gigs, how did you manage to survive 2020? And now that everything's slowly opening up, how are you finding your feet again?
Yo, so when 2020 started, I was sure that it's going to be my year. I had so many plans. And I remember starting off the year with a fast, you know.
Yeah.
And throughout that entire fast, I was really praying to just stay grounded and to be focused, because I'm going to have this whirlwind year that's going to be incredible, and I just need God to be with me and to really keep me grounded and to give me the right support and not to have me surrounded by any distraction, because, yeah, Khotoba, incredible. And 2 months later, clips were shut down.
Yo.
Can't do anything. All of these plans can't come to fruition. I'm now kind of worried about like whether I can drop my album or not. Just kind of in a moment or a state of panic for like the first week of lockdown, you know? I had gone into quarantine 2 weeks before lockdown had happened, because I had fetched a couple of my friends who had just come back from Paris. And that week, one of my friends got sick and I was like, oh my God, there's this thing called Corona. And it was happening in France. So that means we all need to like quarantine and go test. you know, you guys might have given me corona, and so we're going to quarantine. And then while we're in quarantine, Cyril's like, fellow South African.
Lockdown.
And so during that first 2 weeks, I'm really panicked. I'm just like, how am I going to pay my bills? Am I still going to be able to fulfill any of my plans? And like, that time was really unsettling and uncomfortable for me. But there came a moment when I realized that the year was actually about surrender for me.
And not so much
a year of harvest or of splendor, but really about surrendering and understanding that I'm not in control. That no matter how much I do or give or try to push, that there's always a greater power and sometimes you just have to let things go, you know? You put your all and then just let it go, you know? And so once I'd gotten to that moment of surrender, the year really became much easier for me. And things started to happen on their own, you know? Coming together and being able to, like, that time of not being busy allowed me to be more detail oriented when it came to my album. I was able to go through the mixing and mastering process really carefully because I had so much time on my hands. And I was able to understand what the album was really about, you know, and for a long time, and even know what the cover would look like. And that time of isolation, of solitude allowed me to think and to understand what the project was about. And it really was about seeking healing, but it was a reflection of a journey. And so that was what informed me to make the decision of the album cover, with one face reflected in two mirrors. You know, look at it, they think, oh, it's three heads. And it's like, no, it's not even three heads. It's literally one face reflected in two mirrors. You know,
I'm holding deep. Two
mirrors. And the reason for that is because the album reflects a journey of heartbreak in three parts. So it's one part going through a journey, and that journey is reflected in three parts. And that's why we've got the first phase, the second phase, and the third one, because we go through those phases of the pain, which is the first one, and the heartbreak that's filled with the ballads. In the middle, we go through the mess, songs like Panda, and All of Me, and that's when I was sumo all the time, trying to fix or cover up a broken heart. And then in the last part, we kind of go into a moment of healing. And that comes from Pretend, where I realize that I can't do this. I can't do the, I just can't pretend anymore. And so I go into Spirit and I really have a moment of prayer for myself. And I leave space in the song for the listener to pray for themselves. Then we go into I Wish, where we reflect about the world. And in Love Lost, we have a moment of acceptance. That acceptance really allows me to find the healing. And so lockdown wasn't so bad for me, if I'm being honest. I was able to really give my work the attention it needed.
Yeah. Wow, that is so deep, hey? I was like literally visualizing that, but that's deep. Second last question, what are your hopes for 2021?
My hopes for 2021 is that it is better than this year.
Yeah, definitely.
My hope for 2021 is that everyone will watch my interview special with Focalistic this December. Record it and keep watching it in 2021. I really want everyone to have a better year, man. I think that we've all kind of come out of a really tough year. And I think some people are just, we're not acknowledging how tough it's been on us all. And we've kind of moved on and forgotten that like this was a bit traumatic, you know?
It was.
So, yeah, my biggest hope is that people are able to deal with the circumstances that they found themselves in because of this year, and that they're able to come out of it like victorious and just
stronger
and more stable. And yeah, I just hope for a better year. Really, just a better year. Can we breathe without you know, can we just see each other again, and really be able to embrace and to enjoy each other's company without without apprehension or worry, you know, because we sit with each other now, but while we're sitting with each other, we're scared.
That's true.
Yeah, I hope for a better year.
Yeah. Last question. So you're part of the Big Picnic lineup, right? Yes. How do you feel about being on like stage again and giving people what they want? You know, just tell me more about it.
Oh man, like I did the Big Picnic last year and it was incredible. We did it at in Newtown at that old the old Park Station. And I've always wanted to perform on that stage in that venue. And it was just a beautiful thing. And to be called back this year by MTV to do the Big Picnic again, but obviously reimagined virtually, and to collaborate with an artist that I love so much, Ufocalistic, is just exciting for me, you know? So I think it's going to be a really, really cool, viewing experience for everyone. And I'm also excited for like the moment of kind of trying to fuse these very different artists together, you know, that collaboration and that kind of cohesion between myself and Mr. Superstar Focalistic. It's going to be amazing.
So
I'm excited for it. And I'm also excited to see the other artists who are doing it. So AKA and Ami Faku are doing it as well.
Yes.
The two of my favorite artists, you know, who also inhabit different genres and spaces sonically, but that I really, really love. And so I'm excited to see them. I'm also excited to see Aubrey Nguana's episode as well. So I think it's going to be a really, really, a really beautiful viewing experience for a lot of people. And so I hope that people will tune in and really be able to enjoy what we've packaged and put together for them.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, and we will tune in, definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Langa. Thank you.